Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey everybody, it's Lyle. Just a reminder that I am going on tour to do Therapy Gecko live in several cities across the United States, and I would love to see you there. I will be interviewing random folks from the audience up on stage, and absolutely anything could happen. It will be very fun, very terrifying, and very gecko-y. You can find the link to get tickets in your city in the episode description. Okay, let's get into the podcast.
Hello.
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 How are you?
You
know, I'm pretty amazed I got in. I know everyone says that, but...
Well, here's the thing. Somebody was going to get in, so why not you?
My thoughts exactly. That's why I spammed the call, I guess.
What's going on with you, Tristan?
Well, I know you only usually pick one thing to talk about, so... I either wanted to talk to you about my hypochondria that stemmed from a bad mushroom trip years ago, or I kind of been going through a rough time lately, moving cities and having to break up with my fiance. So
what hypochondria is when you think that you are ill all the time, correct?
Right. Yeah, so I was experimenting with a lot of psychedelics, mushrooms, DMT, and I was having a pretty good time. And now I know psychedelics don't really cause the issues. They kind of bring them out of people. And I guess I had some hidden anxiety. Well, a lot of hidden anxiety about death, I guess. That I didn't really know how to cope with, or I wasn't aware of when I took some honestly a low dose of mushrooms. And I think I was, you know, this isn't really diagnosed. This is more of a self-diagnosis, but I mean, I felt like I went into what you could call a psychosis for maybe 6 months afterwards.
What kind of psychosis?
Well, see, I guess, you know, so after the mushroom trip, I thought every day afterwards for 6 months straight, I thought I was going to die every day. And I thought the mushrooms were poisoned, and I thought I had fungus growing in my head. And it was really, honestly, really, really, really tough to deal with. And I went to multiple. I spent a lot of money because of my hypochondria.
You were about to say you went to multiple.
Oh, I went to multiple. For the first thing, I went to multiple doctors, neurologists. I've had CT scans on my head. I had, you know, X-rays. I had some talks with therapists. And there was nothing wrong with me. Absolutely nothing wrong with me. It was all just anxiety. But I've dealt with that anxiety in my own way. I don't see a therapist now. And the therapist I saw, I felt like didn't really help me too much. So I kind of took it in my own hands. And I think I'm doing pretty good with it. But it still bugs me. Like right now, and I know it's ridiculous, but right now I feel like I have rabies. I know rabies takes a long time to present itself. And if I fixate on something, like say I might think I have rabies, I tend to see it in everything around me. Or like if I'm watching a show or a movie or I read something and they bring up rabies, I mean, it just floods my head with like that fear again.
So you went to a therapist for this?
No. Initially I did. I'm 26 now. This happened maybe when I was 22.
Mm-hmm. So you said you initially went to
that six? Yeah.
Okay. What did they say to you?
I guess I wasn't really like 100% with them, to be honest with you, because I felt like I kind of felt like they were a little condescending, and I felt like when I was younger, I thought I was going to be judged more for doing, you know, I thought they were going to blame it all on the drugs, the psychedelics.
Okay, so you thought that they were condescending. What exactly did they say or do to make you feel like they were condescending?
Well, the lady I went to, you know, I probably went to the wrong, the lady I went to kind of like was trying to get me to draw pictures about how I felt.
Okay.
And that and I thought that was a little childish. I don't know, maybe, I mean, you know, I'm not a therapist, so, but I kind of thought that was like maybe a little, you know, like I thought I was being treated more like a kid.
You know, I'm not a therapist either, and I guess I would agree with you. I could see why you would feel like that's ineffective. I've talked to a billion people who they go to therapy like one, and myself included, man, where like they go to therapy once and it doesn't work out for them, and so they quit altogether. I did the same thing. Doing the same thing. But you have an issue. It's interesting to me because you are aware, like, you know, hypochondria is interesting
right.
because you know that you are a hypochondriac. Like, you know that you have this issue. You're self-aware
right.
about it, and you wouldn't be calling
right.
me to talk to me about your hypochondria if you weren't aware about it. But yet, while you
right.
are simultaneously self-aware, fully aware that you have hypochondria, fully aware that you analyze and have high anxiety about thing you know, knowing that it's ridiculous that you have think you have rabies, yet it sounds like that does not help you with the fact that you have anxiety about having rabies.
No. And you know, any little medical, so I'm okay with like if I broke my finger, any physical pain I'm okay with, but when it becomes internal, well, the rabies thing is just, I mean, I know the rabies thing is just kind of crazy, to be honest with you. But anything like, I know I had a stomach pain that was, I found out was related to, I'm blanking. What is it? GERD? It's just like an overproduction of acid, stomach acid.
Okay,
but I mean,
sure.
For a month, I was obsessing that I might have like stomach cancer, and I would lie awake at night and just like think I was going to die. And I go get all these crazy tests, you know, like X-ray, CT scans. You know, when I feel like normal people kind of just like deal with it,
mm-hmm.
or they take some medicine and they're cool with it. And then I always seem to like go to these extreme measures, and it hasn't really affected my relationships too much, I think, besides, you know, them thinking that maybe I'm a little crazy.
Interesting. Again, I know I said this just now, but the contradiction of you knowing and stating how ridiculous this is, but that self-awareness not helping you curb your anxiety is very fascinating to me.
Yeah, it doesn't, because like I said, so I mean, the rabies thing came about maybe like 2 or 3 months ago, and so I think by now I would have been dead if I had rabies. But you know, it's just like I got a small scratch from an outside cat that wasn't acting weird at all.
Yeah.
And as, but I saw that little bit of blood out of my skin, and then the rabies fear just takes over me. Because one time, you know, it's hard for me, too. I can't really be around people who talk about medical issues that might be life-threatening.
Yeah.
If they're not, unless it's like, because if they say a symptom, my mind focuses on that symptom, and I'll get a little crazy about it, you know? I mean, like, nowadays, I think I'm okay keeping it internally, but I mean, I'll just, like, fixate over something like that, and I kind of just, like, I'm just out of it, you know? I mean, I just have this, like, my nurse friend told me about the rabies not showing for 3 months, so after that, I got scratched by the cat, and then it's a downward spiral from there.
So let me ask you this. Forgive me if any of the questions I ask about this thing are ignorant, because I don't know, and they all come from a genuine curiosity. So you are out here, you know, you said you spent a lot of money on doctors, you know, trying, like, uh-huh. getting scans, making sure you don't have rabies, making sure you don't have GERD and whatnot, you know, all these sort of things that you're anxious about possibly having. But yet, you're, again, fully self-aware that you are a hypochondriac, and that the thing that you actually know for sure that you do have wrong with you, that you're a hypochondriac, sounds like it's the one thing that you are not spending a lot of money going to doctors to, instead of the rabies and whatnot.
You know, no one's ever really put it that way to me before. Yeah, that's 100% true. Well, I think you're right.
So
maybe it comes.
No, go ahead.
I was about to say maybe it comes from a place of, I don't know. Maybe because I feel like I know I have hypochondria. I don't know.
So, I mean, look, next time, do you think you have it in you to next time you're like, oh shit, I'm pretty sure I have rabies. Oh shit, I'm pretty sure I have GERD. Oh shit, I'm pretty sure I have whatever the thing is you think you have. Instead of, you know, directing your attention to going to a doctor to make sure you don't have that, you, like, think, you know, you think a higher level step up to be like, oh shit, this is actually a legitimate symptom of a thing I actually have, which is this hypochondria. Let's go make sure we're dealing with that.
Do I think I have it in me to do that?
Yes.
That's the question. I don't know why it's so hard to say yes, but yeah.
Well, because I know you had this experience with the fucking kindergarten teacher therapist, and that maybe turned you off. Which I get, dude. But well, I'll say this, and I say this hypocritically, because I myself, I have not gone to therapy, probably should, but because I also have had experiences where I've been in therapy and been like, what the fuck is this shit? But I've talked to so many people on this show and in real life that they're like, I went to a therapist, it was terrible. They made me draw fucking pictures, went to another therapist, they didn't listen to me, went to another therapist, they didn't help me at all, went to another therapist, they were super unhelpful, went to another therapist, they made it worse, went to another therapist, changed my life, never felt better, type of shit. I hear that all the time of people. They just have to go through a billion different people. So I you know, and again, I'm saying this super hypocritically because I haven't done it myself. But dude, I don't know. I feel like if you're having this legitimate issue, you know, it sounds like it could help you to, you know, find a legitimate help for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I guess it's just the constant, like, you know, like, you find a therapist, they don't work out for you, and then you try again, and it doesn't work out for you, and then maybe you try a third time, and it doesn't work out for you, and then you're kind of just over it.
Yeah, no,
and
I
guess,
totally
like I
that.
Said, you know, I guess I take maybe some pride in dealing with it myself.
Ooh, okay.
You know, so like after the 6 months of like really, I mean, I was really crazy if I look back on it. I mean, after the 6 months of like literally just bawling my eyes out every day because I thought I was going to die, I hit a point where and that was after like they couldn't find anything wrong with me, you know? After that point, I joined martial arts. And I try to lose weight, and I try to get my mind right through that. And I try to read, and I try to study myself, and I'm always trying to be introspective, but it's just always seems to be the one hump I can't get over. But I don't know, maybe I kind of wear it like a scarred badge.
Sure, yeah, the whole, you know, I can handle it myself kind of thing. I don't need to fucking go to therapy. I don't need anyone to help me out.
Right,
and shit. I got it.
Right. And I think problems, like if you're depressed or if you're anxious, you know, mostly everyone today is pretty much. I mean, I think that stuff, even though it really sucks to deal with, helps you to relate to other people.
Yeah, I agree with you on that front that it helps you to relate to other people. That's I mean, weirdly, part of the reason why I like why I like doing this show is because I like talking to people about. I mean, just in my personal life, I have a weird fascination with like if I'm like looking at people just in my regular life, like and being like, what's wrong with them? What's their fucking deal? Because everyone's got a deal, you know. You stand in line in fucking Walmart. And you go up to the cashier
do people
and you scan
naturally
fucking Hershey bar and you're like, what's this guy's deal? What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to ask, do people naturally just open up to you?
Sometimes.
In real life?
Yeah, sometimes. Or, I was just in Mexico.
I was going to say, or is the gecko persona a little different than the real Lyle persona?
No, I was going to say, I was just in Mexico and I met a bunch of people at a hostel. I felt like I got into some interesting conversations there, just out of like a natural weird curiosity of like what the fuck is going on with people, because it helps inform my own what the fuck is going on with me type of thing.
Right. Right. Well, it does seem to me that I'm talking to you right now. You're very easy to talk to. And I think
Thanks,
that probably
man.
Does come across really well in real life. And I wanted to say, you know, I live in Florida and I really wanted to go to your Miami show, but I don't think I can make it. So I'm bummed out.
Are you not going because you're afraid that you'll catch COVID?
You know, I've actually had COVID 3 times and I wasn't too worried about that for some reason.
Really? Okay, now that's fascinating to me because can I just say it's a little bit funny that like the thing that's on the news every single day that's like, oh, everyone's getting fucking dying from this thing, everyone's gonna get this thing, like didn't faze you at all, but like it's a niche type of thing that like rabies, that's what gets you. That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. I really don't know why that is. I don't know, it's because I actually have it and I have to deal with it. You know what it is? You know what it probably is, Lyle? Is it's probably a fear of the unknown and probably a fear of lack of control.
Interesting. Is that a realization that you have kind of always known underneath the surface?
I know the unknown might have kind of hit me just now, but the lack of control, I know I have an issue with that. And I know the biggest lack of control in your life is pretty much how and when you die.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a thing that you just have to come to terms with. You unfortunately cannot beat that.
Right. And I guess I haven't quite come to terms with it yet. Even though I want to pretend I do, you know. You know, I say all this silly stuff like, you know, there's not going to be a tomorrow. You got to live your fullest, today. I mean, silly in the sense that, like, when I say things, I don't know if I actually believe it. Or like, you know, oh, it's, you know, you die someday, or it's going to be all right because you die someday, or, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting. Well, you know what I'm going to say this. You know what I think is, I'm going to use this word. You know what I think is the cool thing about that problem? I don't know if cool is the right word, but it is the word.
What
that
problem?
The hypochondria? No, not the hypochondria, but just the coming to. I guess that you consider this part of the hypochondria. But just the coming to terms with the fact that you're going to die is what I like about that problem is every single person that has ever fucking lived, every single person that is around you, every single person that ever has lived. I was going to say ever will live, but that might not be the case. But just everyone, every single fucking person has to deal with it. It's like if there is one thing that every fucking living thing has in common, it's that. And I weirdly find that kind of beautiful, that we all have that problem, whether we are rich, poor, whatever our life has been like, however old we are, we all have that problem. And I find that kind of beautiful. That's been my personal way of addressing that, is like, oh, this thing is really scary, but it is also the thing that connects me to every other human being on the planet.
So when you lie awake at night and think of dying, does that make you feel more comfortable with the idea or more connected to everybody? Because I think, well, let me hear your answer first, actually.
No, tell me what you think. I need time to think about that question.
Because I think, you know, maybe this goes back to the hypochondria and the fear of it. Maybe I wouldn't be so scared if I felt like that connected us more. But I always feel like, you know, you kind of die individually, regardless of what happens afterwards. And I guess I'm sitting on a blank now, but you know, I guess it's never been a real comfort to me that we all have that connection.
Is it something you've even?
Because
go ahead.
Well, I just say, you know, when people die, I mean, maybe it's the outlook that everyone says about it, you know, because regardless of what people believe in, when other people die, they know they're like, you know, I mean, we're going to miss that person forever. There's a lot of crying, but it's never really like, you know, hooray. I mean, I'm not saying it should be like this, but hooray, they're dead. You know, I mean, it's all negative views around it, like horrible tragedy, regardless of age.
Well, have you ever, like, this idea that it is a thing that connects us all? This idea that it's a thing that gives life value at all, really. Is that an idea that you've sat with at all? You know, I ask that genuinely.
Does death give life value?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does. Well, it does give value, of course, yes. But I guess, well, maybe then the lack of fear is, too, besides the lack of control, is maybe I just don't feel like I've lived my life super well yet. I think I got things going on.
Go ahead.
Well, sometimes I think I have things going on right, and, you know, and then something, you know, well, like all all the time in life. Something comes out of nowhere, or, you know, things happen in your life that aren't very good, and you kind of just, like, I just don't know where I'm at right now, I guess. You know, things kind of just, you think you're doing well, and then you're not.
What is your, the question I was going to ask was, you said you feel like the scary thing is, okay, maybe you're not living your life well enough. What does your life look like when you are living it well?
Well, I know what it's not. It's not, well, I'd like to say, you know, just living comfortable. You know, actually, Lyle, if I lived my life well, it would be probably, you know, somewhere in a mountain in a cabin or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully, it'd be
in a mountain in a cabin.
I think so. I mean, here's the thing, though. I'm not very, like, a handsy type of dude, so maybe with some electricity, I wouldn't mind that.
Have you ever tried living
And hopefully,
in a cabin?
Hopefully a family. Have I tried living in the mountains? No.
Why not? If that is the true answer to that question,
right?
Well,
see,
your life would look like.
I don't know if it is the true answer.
Sure.
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, you said you. All right. Well, can I bring this up? You said that you know what it's not.
Uh huh. Well, what right? It's not is, I think, I don't know. What it's not, I was going to say what it's not is being happy all the time, because I don't think anyone can be happy all the time. So I think that's kind of like, you know, I say mm-hmm. that because when you ask people, what do you want from life or anything like that, they always say, I just want to be happy. But I don't think that lasts often.
I
mean, there's things that make
you
happy, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm totally with you on that, by the way. I think, you know, there's a gigantic spectrum of emotions to experience, and I wouldn't say happiness is more important than any of the others. So I understand what you say when you're saying that.
Do you mind? I mean, I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you have all the other callers, but do you mind if I vent to you about another issue, real quick?
Hmm. Sure. What is it? Is it kind of related to what we've been talking about?
Well, I guess I'm at another unknown in my life at the moment. Sort of.
What is that?
Well, and maybe I don't know if I'm making the best choices, because I thought what I set out to do now would make me, against my own advice, a little bit happier.
Sure, yeah.
But I don't, but, you know, I got a dream job offer for me. And I was supposed to marry this woman that I love in next year in October. And before I accepted the job, before I went to go get it, I asked if she would move with me, and she said she would. And then when I got the job, she refused to move with me. And so we kind of, I mean, it just seemed like it just ended all at once. And I decided to go to this job. But now that I'm in the new apartment and, you know, I start work very soon, I just struggle with, if, you know, another unknown in life. Like, you know, when things are going good and then sometimes things go bad. And I feel like I should be over the moon and really happy right now, or at least excited. And it's just like, just kind of stuck in the depression of it, I guess. And I don't know if I made the right decision.
The decision to move.
Well, to move and to take a new job over spending possibly forever with somebody you love.
Well, can I ask what is it that made you want to make the decision?
Well, didn't want to, when I was living with her, her mom was also living there and so was her sister. And I'm not, It was okay, but I wanted to, like, go out and start our own thing. And also, I didn't want to stick around in the place I'm at and kind of get a job just to have a job, especially if I have an opportunity to do something in an industry I've been a part of forever. You know, I would like to wake up and not be miserable to go to work every day.
Brother, I think that's a very good reason to make. I think it's a very good reason to make that decision. You know, if anything, you know, whether or not you believe the decision worked out, you made it with a pretty damn good reason. What you just said, especially when we're in consideration of you know, all this things that we've been talking about for the amount of time we've been talking about. You know, appreciating the value of life and wanting to do good things with it. I mean, maybe not consciously, but you made that decision with that in mind, that you wanted to improve your life, and you felt as though the move would improve your life, and so you made that decision.
Right.
And so now you're at this job, but the problem is that this girl left you, right?
Yeah, I just thought, you know, I don't want to tear up over the phone. I guess I just haven't really talked about it with anybody. But, you know, it sucks when you think, you know, somebody's has your back, especially if you had theirs, yeah. And they just don't, you know, they just don't want to follow through with you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, it's a great opportunity. I thought it was a great opportunity for us. So I didn't even, you know, I just wanted to support her and stuff like that. But, you know, it's just one of those things where you keep, you know, it's one of those things where you say again, you know, oh, you know, whatever. You just kind of like when you talk about it to other people, you're like, you know, it's for the best and stuff like that. But sometimes you just don't know, I think.
Yeah, I can see why you feel like you've been betrayed, but
I didn't mean to get so heavy on you. I'm sorry.
No. I'm actually glad we're talking about this because again, I want to come back to your answer of the question of why you made the decision. It was a really good answer, man. It really was. You made the decision for a really good reason. And you made it with all of the knowledge that you had at the time. I mean, to decide that you want to go out and try to live a life for yourself, not just kind of be shoehorned into your girlfriend's family's life, and not to, you know, to pursue a job that you really feel like might make your life better. I mean, that's a good reason to make that decision. So even if things didn't work out exactly how you wanted them to, I think it's great that you went after something that you felt like could make your life better. And I know when you're hurting, maybe you don't want to hear something that's just kind of whatever, blindly optimistic, but I do have an optimism that there is still the potential for this decision to make your life better. You know, because it still sounds like it's very early in this career.
Yeah, and I, you know, thanks for saying that, Lyle. And it, you know, it feels good to, you know, I talked to a few friends about it, and I guess I just wanted to get a person who doesn't know me's opinion. Mm-hmm. About it, because you know your friends are always going to support you, and hopefully you have ones that tell you the truth. But it was nice to get some friendly gecko advice and from a person who doesn't know me. Mm-hmm. Compared to even though friends can be honest with you and support you, it's just nice to hear from somebody who doesn't have anything to do with you.
Yeah, man. And by the way, can I just say you're 26, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're similar ages. I don't want to lay toxic positivity shit on you. But in my head when you're telling me about this, I'm thinking. Well, no, I'm thinking like, okay, you know, you'd made the decision. Here's the thing about I have a billion thoughts in my head, but here's the thing about these decisions that we make, and I'm really trying to learn this myself, is that something that happens that ends up one way that's bad right now could eventually start a string of things that lead to something that you could never have expected. So like, okay, you made this decision to take this job, and as a result, things, you know, don't work out with the current person you're with. But fucking what if, you know, this current job sends you to some place, you're on some airplane, you're in some meeting, you meet whatever, and you meet someone else who you're like, whoa, what the fuck? Who is this person? And then you start a new relationship that's, you know, you're feeling things that you never even knew were possible to feel in the old one. Or and then maybe that one fucking turns out shitty, and then fucking that fails. But then maybe that leads you to something else that's amazing in your career. Maybe you meet the fucking person in your industry that's your hero. There's just infinite things that could happen. Right. You have no idea if they're positive or negative. And so, everything I'm telling you is things I'm trying to tell myself. So you just fucking roll with it, man. You know, that's right. That's all I got to say.
You're absolutely right. Well, thank you, Lyle.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having this talk with me. I'm really, feel honored that you would, share all this stuff.
Yeah, I'm sorry to get so heavy at the last part there, but I honestly really appreciate tonight, you know, that I got in. So it was really nice talking with you, and yeah.
Are you going to, before we go, do you think that, you know, kind of back to the hypochondria stuff, do you think you will try again to seek, you know, a legitimate type of treatment for that?
Well, listen, you know, I've been listening to you a lot on Spotify, and I know one of your sponsors is BetterHelp, and mm-hmm. I've been on the site a couple times, and I've like gotten to the point where like I almost finished signing up, and then I close off. So, mm-hmm. but I've been definitely thinking about that, and maybe I've been thinking about that more because I've been listening to your show so much. And I just want to say, by the way, too, I've heard about your show, and I've seen clips from it before all this stuff happened, but since this stuff has been going on, I mean, I almost kind of go through the catalog every night, and it really, really, really helps me out. So if you ever feel like, I mean, you know, you have your doubts too, but if you're ever doubtful that this show doesn't do anything besides provide some funny things for the internet, you're wrong. You know, I mean, it really helps out a lot of people, I think.
Thank you, brother. That really genuinely does mean a lot to me. It really does. Cause yeah, everything I talk to you about, on this call are things that I've had my doubts about too. So, I really appreciate that, man. And, you know, once again, thank you for talking to me. And I hope that you can find, a therapist that is helpful to you and doesn't make you draw fucking pictures.
Thanks, man. And can I say one thing to the audience before I go?
Yes, of course.
I just want to say, and I guess I've learned this recently too, that if you guys ever feel stuck in any sort of situation, there's a way out, no matter how hard it is. And you can really change your lives for the better, or at least change it. You know what I mean? So that's all I want to say.
You know, in thinking about everything that we've been talking about, I'm really glad to hear you say that, because, you know, I know that you've been dealing with a lot of things and probably a lot of hopelessness, it sounds. And so I'm glad to hear you, you know, leave us with those optimistic thoughts.
Thank you, Lyle. I really appreciate it, man. You helped a lot.
Hey, take care, Tristan.
You too.
Whew. That was a wild, wild call that might be one of the longest calls I've taken on this show. We talked about a lot of interesting things. That was a really, really great conversation. Thank you again to Tristan for having that conversation with me, thinking about death, thinking about life, thinking about decisions. Thinking about all the shit that I'm thinking about all the time. It's fun to talk to people through this stuff because it reinforces it when I think about it in my own life and my own decisions. And I feel like when I'm thinking through a similar problem of, oh, okay, well, I made this decision and that didn't work out. You know, I can think, well, you fucking told this guy on the fucking podcast this thing, so why don't you try believing it yourself? And yeah, it was just great. It was great. Thank you, Tristan, for talking to me about that, and I hope he gets, a legit person who helps him out with his hypochondria. And fuck, man, he's a young dude. We're very similar ages, and I feel like there's lots and lots and lots of room for him to experience more. As he said, he doesn't just want to be happy all the time, and I feel like there's a lot of experience room for him to as he continues through his life. Much opportunity for him to dive into the wide spectrum of emotions that the human experience has to offer. And I hope he soaks them all up before he dies and I die and whoever is listening to this dies. Live in the moment. Do your thing. I'm a gecko.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online option for therapy. With video, voice, and texting chat options with a licensed therapist that can be done completely at your own pace and on your own schedule. You don't need to leave your house, you don't need to sit in traffic, just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with one of several therapists on the platform. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge until you find one that works for you, and you can communicate with your therapist as often as you want and whenever you feel it's needed. It's never a bad idea to find someone qualified to talk to about your issues and get some guidance on them. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/gecko today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gecko.
Hello?
Wait, hello, is this Lyle?
Yeah, is this Kayla?
Yes, this is Kayla. Oh, wow, I've been waiting a while, so I'm excited.
What's going on with you, man?
I am just sitting at my boyfriend's house. We are actually watching your line right now.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. It says here that you and your boyfriend have a disagreement going on. I figure I'm not going to read it. You could just tell me what it is.
Of course. So we were driving in the car, actually listening to your live, and he was telling me a story about how he had neighbors that used to jizz in their face as masturbation. And so it's funny, but we've come to the disagreement on, he thinks that it's gay to do that. Like it's homosexual people. Sorry if that's not PC. Do it. But mm-hmm. I thought mm-hmm. that would just be like a masturbating thing. Cause you're just doing it to yourself, not like mm-hmm. to another same sex mm-hmm. person. So mm-hmm. I was curious what your thoughts are on it.
Okay, we get into any of that, where were his neighbors masturbating where he could see it?
No, he didn't see it. He wasn't like there or anything. It was a conversation he had overheard when he was younger.
It was a conversation he had overheard when he was younger?
Yeah,
is he there? Is he there? Well, I'll get into the initial question, but can I talk to him real quick?
Tucker, you're on. Tucker, wait, sorry.
I'll wait. I need to hear this conversation. I need all of the context he possibly has. Hey, Tucker.
Hello, Father Gecko. Yes, sir.
Tucker, man. Listen, what? I know that you and your girlfriend have this debate, but I'm doing all right, man. What? Tell me about you hearing your neighbors talk about jerking off and jizzing on their own faces when you were younger.
Yeah, this was a very strange, out of context question that she could have asked you. But anyways, so my friend's mom was friends with this gay couple. And, you know, we're hanging out at their fire pit or whatever, and they're all drunk or whatever. And so they're pretty, like, open about their gayness, which is cool.
Sure, sure.
And, you know, I forgot how the subject came up, but, yeah, he said that he, like, came in his own face when he was, like a teenager or whatever. And, you know, I said it was gay, but my girlfriend thinks it's not. But, you know, to each their own. You know, I guess she holds up a pretty good argument about it, but I personally think it is. But, you know, and, you know, no offense to anybody out there.
When you say you were younger, like, how young were you when you overheard this?
Yeah, and, you know, the fact that I was younger makes it sound like it's super creepy and, like,
no, I just wait. Look, I'm not. We're not making any judgments on this. We're not making any judgments on the situation. I'm just trying to get empirical data here. How old were you when this happened?
I believe I was in like seventh or eighth grade or so.
Okay, all right. So you were you were probably masturbating at this time. Eighth grade is typically when.
Yeah. I could. Okay. I guess I could relate in some sense, but not in that sense, you know?
Have you ever jacked off on your own face? You ever masturbated and jizzed on your face?
Negative. No, that's not a activity that I've partaken in.
Okay.
Exactly.
And you believe that it is...
I can't say that I've known anybody else that has.
Okay.
But, you know.
All right, let me talk back. Yeah, let me talk to your girlfriend again.
Okay. All right. My love. Here.
Hello?
Okay, so you're arguing about whether or not you believe it is gay to jack off onto your own face. And what is your perspective on this? Where do you stand in this debate?
Well, I would think that if you're doing it with someone of the same sex, I think then it would be considered gay. However, doing it to yourself, so it's like masturbating. I know it's not like what normally you would do, I guess, but... like, it's a more rare thing, but I would consider it masturbating. But saying it out loud, it sounds a bit more silly.
Well, no, it's interesting because...
but I still think it's masturbating.
Well, I guess in order to be... like, when I think of, like, gay or straight, like, straight would be, you know, a guy and a girl... and gay would be a guy and a guy. But if you don't, if there's no second person, then there's no.
Yeah, then it would be like.
It just is what it is. So yes, it's master. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think it would
okay,
be gay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I also
but I don't
think
know.
It's masturbating. It's arguable because the original story comes from a gay couple, so the strong point there is it is a gay thing. But however, I think like if you're doing it to yourself alone, I just think it might be a weird fetish. Something that some people are just into in the private time.
By the way, I'm really curious why your boyfriend says that he doesn't jack off onto his own face, but I think he's lying because there's no other reason why.
You guys would
be like so embroiled in this argument in the way that you are.
I think so too. He has a beautiful complexion, and I want to know his skincare, but there doesn't seem to be much evidence in the bathroom, so there could only be one.
And by the way, I'll say this with the whole like whatever is it gay thing. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I have not. Jizzed on my own face, but I jizz on my knees all the time, and when my jizz comes out, it's like hot, and when I jizz on my knee, it feels a little bit good in the way that like on my knee, not even in like a sexual way, like in the way that like a hot towel does. So like I haven't done this yet, maybe I will, who knows, but I could see myself if I jizzed on my own face and my jizz was like warm, it would be like a hot towel kind of sensation on my face. And I, it wouldn't, to me, even be like a sexual thing. So no, again, I'm with you. I don't even think it's a sexual thing at all to jizz on your own face. It would just like feel
well,
the warmth
call it facial,
of your jizz.
So I mean, I can see it as like a... like a therapeutic thing. I could see it enhancing your skin.
Have you ever...
it has great nutrients. It's been proven.
Have you ever jizzed on your own face?
Have I ever...
is that even... can you? Is that even a thing that you can do?
Like my vagina juice?
Yeah.
No, I don't... I mean, maybe in the sense of like during sex, you know, you go in, you come out, you go down, but... no, I don't usually just rub it on my face in my free time. So yeah, mm-hmm. It is kind of more of like a, I think a rare thing to do. But I wouldn't
I'm glad we had this conversation. This felt like it was extremely productive.
Thank you. I was hoping it would. I've been really wanting to talk to you, I think for about a week now. So I'm mm-hmm. really glad I got through. I called like 85 times. I was like, okay. We'll get in there. We need to know. But I'm glad we got your input.
No, I'm glad we got to sell this too, because I think a lot of people were wondering. Kayla, is there anything else you want to say to the people mm-hmm. at the computer before we go?
Thank you all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this conversation.
Geck bless you, and tell your boyfriend it's fine to come on his own face. He doesn't need to feel this weird shame about it.
Here. I think he needs to hear it from you.
Father? Lyle?
Okay, what's your name again?
Mr. Lyle. Tucker.
I'll talk to you soon, Tucker.
Thank you, friend.
Couple of great guys. Kayla and Tucker.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by Factor. Factor is a meal prep service that eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. I've been using Factor myself a ton this year to help me lose weight, and they make it easy by having the nutritional information of each meal listed right on the box, which is sometimes a bit harder to calculate when you're eating out. Every one of their meals comes to your door fresh, they're chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I just had their chicken tikka masala for dinner tonight. I had their pesto salmon last night, and they were both very, very good. Head to factormeals.com/gecko50 and use the code GECKO50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code GECKO50 at factormeals.com/GECKO50 for 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hello?
Hello?
How's it going?
How's it going, man?
This is Lyle. I'm doing good, yeah. What's up with you?
Not much, man. My work break, dude. I'd call in while I had some time.
Oh boy, a work break.
Yeah, man. Lyle, dude, I had a pretty interesting debate I wanted to bring up to you, man.
Oh yeah, what's going on?
So, I don't know if you saw from the call screener, but me and my girlfriend had a little debate about you know, she had her opinion, I had mine, and I thought I'd bring this to your attention to tell me what I should do about this. So we've been debating. I thought about becoming a sperm donor. I actually took the time to fill out an application and apply somewhere just to see what would happen. And they accepted my application and told me to make an appointment, and I haven't responded because I've been pretty nervous to do it.
Interesting. What about it is making you nervous?
Cause I'm like, I don't want to, like, I don't know how the process is going to be, like, when I go there and they just, like, you know, take a sample or something. Like, I'm just like, and then plus, like, if it does follow through, I'm just like, wait, whoa, like, I'm going to have, like, they wanted a photo ID picture, like, of my face next to, like, you know, my sample and everything. Okay. And it just seems like such a weird process, but you can get paid, like, I think, like, like $1,500 a month for it.
You so, $1,500 a month, I mean, for like, what do you mean a month? Like, you just give them sperm monthly?
Well, I guess reading on it, they said that you would have to go like at least 2 to 3 times a week to go and give them samples. Yeah, and then monthly you'll get paid $1,500. So I'm like, okay, it's really like easy money. Mm-hmm. I asked my girlfriend about it, and she said, well, that's extra money. I mean, like, you're not like cheating. I don't see why not. And yeah. I said, well, I mean, would it be weird if I like had like a bunch of like mini me's out there somewhere, like that are mine, but not really mine.
Mm.
And she, you know, that's the part I'm nervous about, because I'm like, that seems a little weird. Mm. But then again, it's kind of not. It's kind of cool.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So let's dive into it. Why? What? If you could kind of put into words, like take a second and search for them. What feels weird about that?
The thing that feels weird about it. I mean, I know it's for a good cause. I know it's for a good cause, but it's just a little weird because, I mean, what are the odds, you know, one day I'm walking down the street and I just see some kid and I'm like, hey, he looks kind of like me. Like, you know, like, what are the odds of that ever happening? Probably, like, very, very low. But mm-hmm. it's just a little, it just makes me nervous thinking about, like, dude, I like, out there are, like, me's out there, like, somewhere, anywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm. But here's the thing. So I brought it up to my girlfriend, and you know, she had her opinion, and she kind of like wanted me to do it, kind of like hyping me up, like, do it, why not, just try it out. And so I was like, yeah. And I think I got a little too hyped up, and I was like, yeah, you know what, like, I could like have like I should have a kid in like every race, like that'd be awesome. I'm like, yeah, like I should have like a mini like army. And I started saying like going too far, and then she's like, no, I don't want you to do it. But now I'm like hyped up to kind of do it. I don't know.
Are you short on cash right now?
No, but okay. I mean, the extra would be nice.
Okay. I mean, listen, here's the thing, right? Is what makes somebody a father in the modern world? Is it simply that their child came out of their own penis? Or is it the fact that they took care of that child, brought them up, they were in that child's lives? So I mean, look, if you're looking at cum as nothing special, which ultimately it's not. There's infinite cum in the universe. Cum, it's not like oil. It's an infinite reoccurring resource that is everywhere. Cum is not very special. So, you know, you have cum. Just spray it out all over into the universe. Make little people. People aren't that special either. Just make a bunch of them. Get a little bit of money. Money's not that special either. Just do it. Why not?
Dude, I mean, who knows? One of those kids can, like, someday, like, become the president. And I'll be like, hey, like, thanks to my contribute, like everything that I've given to
well,
them.
Well, hold on, man. So are you, I mean, you're talking about it like you're keeping in touch with these kids. I mean, you're throwing your cum into a vial, and then you're never, you know, that's it. You're done. You have relinquished your cum
into
the universe. Your part is done. I mean, so you're never going to know. No, so you're not going to know. You're not going to see your kids running around. You're not going to find out if your cum became the president. You're just exchanging cum for money. There's nothing else to it.
Honestly, it sounds like a kind of reasonable exchange, man.
I think so too. Well, I don't know. Like, here's the thing. It's a good deal for you, because I think buying cum is crazy. There's infinite cum. It's not as I said, a scarce resource.
Yes.
So, if I were you, I'd take advantage of the deal. Before they realize that they're kind of suckers for buying cum.
That's kind of true, man. Like, that's access. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
And you know what, man? I think I'm going to consider it.
You should.
I think I'm gonna consider it. I'm still a little nervous. I don't know what I'm gonna do when I go there, because I don't know if they're like, okay.
I know what you're gonna do when you're gonna go there.
I have no idea how it works, man.
No, I know how it works. You go in the place. They go, here's a little cup. Go into the bathroom. Do you know how to jack off? Have you ever cummed before?
Yeah.
Okay. Go into a bathroom. You jack off. You think about whatever it is that gets you there, and you come into a little vial, and then you give them the vial, and they hand you $15 or more.
And then they're like, bye, and then that's it.
That's it. That's all you got to do.
Huh.
You are a human cum machine.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Dude, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm just going to be the best machine I could possibly be.
You should. You should do it.
I think I'm going to do it, Lyle.
Daniel, anything else you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
Guys, you know, if you have a good feeling about something, even if you're nervous, try it out. Just try it out.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you for calling, Daniel.
Thanks, Lyle. See you, man.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big.